Praise God. I know God is blessing you. Welcome to another episode of Revival Today. Today we have a special guest, the Bishop Stanley Choate from New England Pentecostal Ministry Headquarters. He's my father and my bishop. We are so excited to have him. We also have my mother, Pastor Lee Choate, joining him. Please enjoy the word of God.
And so God is telling us today, get yourself a word that will encourage you as you go through, because you will know that your God is there to preserve you and to keep you. And the things that I like about this scripture is I know when David was running from Saul, the word of God says, he came up with this word. He said, he will not slumber nor sleep. And he said, he will be a shade on your right hand. And the thing I like was he said, the sun shall not strike you by day. So when he was in hot pursuit of David, David was able to say, even the sons obeyed God. Because if I needed to be hiding, he would cover the sun. It wasn't too hot while he was traveling. And he said, in the moon by night, even when the moon would come out and expose him, God would cover the moon to hide him in his time of trouble. And so that's what God is saying to us today. Your help comes from the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So just pray that the word of God will just touch our hearts and pierce our hearts, because when we come together, we want to be fed so that we can go forth for the next day, for the next week, for the next month, knowing that God is our helper and our strength. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I will lift up mine eyes to the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, the Lord which made heaven and earth. He said, he would not suffer thy foot to be moved. The Lord that keepeth thee, he will not slumber nor sleep. For the Lord is my keeper, the Lord is my shade. Upon my right hand, upon my right hand, the sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. He shall preserve your soul even forevermore. Oh, my help, my help, all of my help come from the Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We're here to encourage you, to let you know that your help comes from the Lord. We're not just speaking words from a mouth, but from a life, a testimony, through hard times, through hard trials, to let you know that God is faithful. He's faithful. Whatever you're going through, your help comes from the Lord. God bless you. We love you. We love you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you here. We're here to let you know that we love you. And God loves you too. God bless you. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you. Thank you. We thank God for this opportunity to be here. Today, I just want to grab your attention for a few minutes. If you could turn with me to the book of Ephesians, the 6th chapter. But how many are loving your relationship with the Lord? Just let me see the hands. I mean, it's good to be in the Lord, but the relationship that we have afforded me great times, even in times of stress, times when I was going through difficulties in my life. I still trusted God with that time, and he saw me through safely. Amen. And so in the book of Ephesians, chapter 6, verse 10, it starts, finally, my brothers, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles or the strategies of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Against spiritual wickedness in high places. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood. And oftentimes we get really sort of trapped up in trying to fight our own battle or think it's the persons that are working against us. Somebody somewhere don't like us. And so we actually put ourselves in a defensive posture and try to fight back. But the Lord is telling us up front that the wrestle, the struggles that we're going through, no matter wherever the origin might be, it's still the devil. Turn to somebody and say, it's the devil. Now, sometimes he uses people that doesn't understand, but nevertheless, it's the enemy trying to trap you up with strategy. So today's message that God is giving for you is the next level. Turn to somebody and say, the next level. As you see that in this scripture that we just read, that we're fighting. God is likening us to warriors, and we in a battle constantly against these unseen enemies that are trying to take us down. Does not want us to represent the kingdom of God well, nor does he want us personally to be successful. He wants to come against us and undermine our credibility. So Paul said, you know, you got to put on the whole armor of God and able to stand against this strategy. And so as I began to think what God would have me to say, he says, tell them about the struggle that we have in the church as a church against the power of darkness. We know that the kingdom of darkness and the principality is constantly growing. And the level of strength that we got and we had for yesterday is not sufficient for the day. Would you agree with that? There must be growth, increase, in order to get where we need to be to combat the enemy in this time. There's another level. There's another level of growth that we all are working to get to. When we get there, we can handle our adversary without any effort at all. The Bible talks about greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. But what has happened to the church, we don't realize who we are since we've been born again. And when we've been brought into the kingdom of God, we're not only just saved on our way to heaven, God likened us to warriors. But not only warriors, you know what he called us? He called us ambassadors. You know what an ambassador is? He is an official representative of the kingdom. We are representatives of the kingdom of God. We speak in Christ's stead. That lets me know that I'm part of the governing family. You part of the governing family, who is King Jesus. Whenever there is a government, there is always a domain. A dominion that he rules over, or she rules over. And when you're part of that family, you have been assigned to do certain things that is going to help the government, even of your house, run smoothly. So the Lord said, I'm not only just saving you, but I'm going to equip you to use you to help perpetuate my kingdom here on earth. His objective that none be lost, that all be saved. But he is not coming back here in the flesh to preach and to teach, to heal and deliver. So what he did, he said, I'm going to raise up a church. And he said, when I raise up my church, the gates of hell shall not prevail against her. Well, we are that church. But we can't walk in the victory that God has promised us unless we move to the next level. This level is a level of consciousness that we know who we are in the kingdom. We do no longer be inhibited by our natural tendencies or the things of the flesh. I know who I am. You ought to know who you are. In order to get the victory over Satan, that's going to have to be something that we all agree to, that I am who God says I am. I can do what God says I can do. Amen? So the problem is, instead of the church growing, we're growing weaker. Well, you can't grow if you don't eat. Amen. If you don't get into the things of God, increase your appetite, your intake, you're not going to grow. And where you are right now, even though you're walking in victory, you will not have your victory tomorrow if you stay there. Things are getting worse in our society. We see even our young folks on the street down in Washington and all over the country protesting for equality, safety. And we see that they are against our elected officials because there is no equity. Many of us are suffering because the lack of integrity with folks in authority. On your job, those that have been assigned as officials representing our police force, our government, the different government programs, they pick and choose, even housing. While am I saying this, it's going to get to the point that the only things that you're going to be able to say that you can enjoy is the things that you take for the kingdom of God suffered violence. And those forcible ones can take it by storm. So that God is raising up a people that can walk in the strength of the kingdom so we can be an example to people looking for hope. Does that make sense? So the next level is the level behind the veil. And we know what is behind the veil. The veil is the place where only the high priest can go. And in that place is called the mercy seat. So what happens is when you go there, the Bible says we have been equipped and authorized to serve as ambassadors, and we can go and get strength and mercy to help in time of need. Is this a needy time? There are so many needs among the body of Christ today. So many things are going on financially. Even in our own family, some of us are having mental problems. Also, we see there is sickness all over the place. And the enemy is going to ramp up his attack on us. And how are you going to be able to stand and be victorious? And it is, but you got to increase who you are. Piper said the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're still mighty for the pulling down strongholds. But in order to do anything, in addition to where you are right now, you got to increase who you are. Y'all didn't hear that. You got to increase who you are because we have to qualify for the next level. The Lord is not going to say, okay, you go to the next level. Because he has not called you to failure. If he has not called us to failure, then he will prepare us to handle the position of being in the next level, all that comes with it. You think you're in war now, wait until you get there. But if you get and win and get the teaching that God is going to put you in through your trials and tribulation, you'll be like David says, the God that I serve is able to deliver me out of the hands of this uncircumcised Philistines. But let's look at what he said. He said, you know, being called a warrior to walk in the power of the kingdom. Even more so than warriors, we've been called to be governors. We're called to be governors to help with the governmental structure of the kingdom of God. Whenever Jesus went anywhere, one of the things he would tell them to say, he said, tell them the kingdom of God has come nigh unto you. When he sent out two, he said, go into whatever city you go into, whatever house, you say, peace be into this house. He said, but say, the kingdom of God has come unto you. And we see here that the kingdom that he talked about is in us now. When he said that I have these treasures in earthen vessels, the kingdom of God is in you. But in order for you to release that which is in you, Jesus called it a well of water, springing up out of us into everlasting life. Water to help somebody else, not only yourself, but help somebody else. So the kingdom got to come out of you some kind of way. So I want you to know that it's the will of God for you to grow to the position that you can actually release the kingdom of God. Wherever you go, you're going to come against people on your job, part of your relatives, in the streets, especially in the grocery stores, standing in the lines at Walmart. Going, somebody need a word of encouragement. But not only just to speak a word, but an anointing word. Amen. See, everybody and anybody can say a word of encouragement, but if it's not authorized by God to be a representative of the kingdom, it's not going to bring deliverance. Do y'all understand that? When you go to get your car fixed, BMW 2018, do you take it to a corner mechanic on the street? You do not take it there. What do you take it back to? The person that is authorized. They're authorized to do this. So the Lord is saying, I want you to know that I have given you the authority to walk as a representative of the kingdom of God. You are part of the government team. Now, I can't stress enough what that means, being part of government. Don't you know if you control the government, you control the people. And if it's a good government, the people you don't have to control, they want to be part of it. The Bible says, Jesus said, through love and kindness have I drawn thee. Yeah. He is the governor, and we bow before him, and he has set us as part of that governing team. I want you to recognize you have that authority to speak in Christ's stead. Do you believe it? Yeah. Do you believe it? Now, it's got to be more than just saying, I believe it. There has to be evidence of your commitment to the things of God to get there to that next level by who you are in character, what you do in your life, how you respond to others, and certainly how you respond when there is adversities. Amen? One of the things God requires of us, he says, there has to be obedience. Sometime I believe there's a little bit of Samson in all of us. And one of the things that I find out that we don't recognize when God has strengthened us in preparation to release us, you fall out and faint about your situation, not recognize that God is only putting you in a situation or circumstance to strengthen you. You must have experiences. In Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, is the 12th chapter, verse 9 and 10. And look what it says. Here Paul's speaking to the Corinth. He says, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that what the power of Christ might rest upon me. That's 2 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, 9 and 10. He said, well, you're not having troubles. I'm having troubles, but since I know that I didn't bring them on myself. Are y'all hearing me? If it's something that you brought on yourself, you're responsible for what it produces. But if you know that you have not did anything and you're still suffering, then you know it's for the glory of God. Paul understood this principle, so he said, look, I'm not going to complain about where I am and what I'm going through. I'm going to look closely and see that I bring this upon myself. If I didn't bring it upon myself, I'm going to rejoice. Y'all didn't hear that. If this came from the hand of my adversary, or by using somebody in the midst to vex me, it doesn't matter how it got there. If I didn't cause it by my disobedience to God, then I know it's a good thing. Wow. So listen to what he says. He says, you know what? God has said his grace is sufficient. And then he goes on to say, my strength is made perfect in weakness. So he said, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that what? That the power of Christ might rest upon me. Verse 10, he said, therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecution. Wow, wait a minute. Let me just give you a chance to digest that. Paul is saying we ought to take pleasure and persecutions, obstacles, and all these things that have been put against you. Why? Because the only way we can learn how to grow and be in a place that we can be efficient in the kingdom of God, we have to have experience. We have to have kingdom experience. So listen to what Paul is saying. He says, so therefore, if these things that I'm going through right now is not a result of my action, then it's designed by God. Well, what is God doing with this? God wants you to get to the place where your strength and your effort is gone. Did y'all hear that? Paul was saying, "Say, when I'm weak, I am strong." What does he mean by that statement? He didn't mean after he had done all he could and exhausted his resolve, there was nothing left but to tap into the kingdom of God. God needed him to have experience in operating in the kingdom of God, that he would not fall or fold under pressure. So when he was going through, he said, okay, as soon as I get to my ability. But God don't want you to do what you can do. He's given us intellect. So if you can work and get the increase, you do it. But sometimes you can't get what you need by your own effort. Is that true? So the Lord said, when that happened to you, I need you to have experience that it doesn't stop you. Because when you reach the end of your ability, now you're able to tap into the kingdom's ability. And when we tap into the kingdom's ability, because we are representatives of the kingdom and we've been authorized by the kingdom, Jesus said the gates of hell should not prevail. So I have the ability to speak to things that are not and cause them to be. For all things are possible for me. Did y'all get that? How can we actually walk in that position? It has to be another level or experience. Something that brings you to the brink of disaster and you still say, I still trust in God. When all your help is gone, there is no other recall, and you look at your circumstances and say, I'm dead. Get it out of the system and then say, but now, Lord, we look unto you. I look unto you. I trust in you. I know that you're able to get me beyond this circumstance. But when you have those experiences over and over again, it emboldens you. Now you can stand before your adversary and you're not quaking in your boots. You're able to speak the words of the kingdom. What is the words of the kingdom? The words of the kingdom is this, the word of God. God has given us all information as an ambassador that we should operate out of. Just say what he's saying. Do what he does. Remember what Jesus said about his Father? He says, I only speak what I've heard. I only do what I've seen. That's what God wants you to do. He said, but you can't see it unless you experience it, and you can't experience it unless you're in a situation. So here you are, right? And the Lord is trying to strengthen you. Well, how does he strengthen you? By alleviating your stress from your burdens, taking you out of your situation, or he put a little bit more weight? How do you get those muscles built? You have to go through a time of exercising. You get so you can handle those 10-pounders, you go to the 15-pounders. Then you get up to where Chelsea used to be, the 30-pounders. 50-pounders? Oh, yeah, you know, you were there. But how does she build? How do we build up muscles? By exercising. But we don't exercise with the same weight. We have to get a weight that is heavier than what we had yesterday. And so the Lord is saying, I want you to go through what you're going through, but it's not to kill you. It's not to maim you. It's not to set you back, but in fact, it's to push you forward. You're going through a lot of suffering, and it looked as though your time was not going to come, but lo and behold, God bless you, and it's your time. There was a time when you didn't have one car, but now you got three cars. God is saying, I want you to know, just rejoice where you are. Learn how to praise me right where you are. And when you fall into all these temptation and trial, don't think as though something strange is happening to you. I need you to have experience so you can speak. Why? Because we must learn how to step aside and get out of the way of God and let our own natural effort reach the end of its ability till we can do no more. Then we tap into the supernatural power of God. We must enter the next level in order to operate in the power of deliverance. Amen. Look what Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 5 in 7 through 10. He says, now we know we're going to go through that period. He said, but when you're going through something, he says, cast all your cares upon me. This is what Jesus is saying. For he cares for you. Is something that you're concerned with right now? Your health? A job situation? You've gone through a long time. God is bringing you to another level. My son, Pastor Mark, was telling me about he just got another job. Thank God, making more money. He can actually walk to work. Go home for lunch. Why am I saying this? God wants his people to recognize that he has blessed us and we're always blessed. I'm going to just let you digest that. He has put us in a position to be blessed and we're always blessed. Even when you're going through, you're still blessed. This is what Peter was trying to get across when he said, cast all your cares upon him. For he cares for you. He said, be sober, be vigilant, because what your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, he walketh about seeking whom he may devour. I like the next verse. He says, whom resists being steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But you're going through it. You're going through a time of great trouble and distress. And you know what James said? Well, count it all joy. Just have a joy party, you know. tell your folks, well, I'm going through some stressful things, but I know I didn't cause these things. So you know what that means? It means that God is doing something with me. Whenever we get through a time of testing, make a guess what's on the other side. Promotion. Is anybody going through something right now? I've been going through something right now, and you've been there a long time, and eventually you say, God has promoted me. God has met my need above what I really expected. Minister Carol was talking to me last night. She was saying, you know, there was a time where they were struggling just to keep one car. And they had gone through a lot. A lot. I can't begin to tell you how much they're going through. And then they hung in there. She and Chris and the girls and the young boy, wherever he is. Now the things begin to turn. Things will begin to turn. God needs to let all of us get to a place. If it was possible, we would faint. The only thing keep us from fainting is that we remember who we are and whose we are. So we get up another day and we go through. Another week passed and we're still going through. Some time has been years that passed and we're still going through. And we say, Lord, when is this going to end? When is it going to be over? When can I have a time that I can rest? And the Lord said, you're still fighting. You still got some strength left. I got to get you to the point where nothing you can do but just say, Lord, have mercy. Some of you right there now said, Lord, have mercy. That's me. But I like what Peter says. He goes on in verse 10, and he says, but the God of all grace, who has called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus. Now look what he says. Say after. What that word after means? It means after. Something is before it, right? Something first, and then this is after. The first is what you're going through. The state of struggle that you are in now. But the Bible says after this is over, after you struggled, you cried and you threw up your hands in frustration, after that you have what? Suffered a while. He says, what I'm going to do, I'm going to make you perfect, establish you, strengthen you, and settle you. The word here is all that he was going through was to perfect him, that he might be settled, unmovable. You know what he said in Hebrews? He said, all these things that's coming, he says, I am causing there to be a great shakeup in the earth. Principalities. He says, because in the end, I'm looking for a kingdom that cannot be moved. Okay, do you recognize this God? Will you quit complaining? So with all you're going through right now, you know what that means? Turn to somebody, give them a high five, say, it's promotion time. It's promotion time. God is saying he's getting ready to promote you. Don't faint before you're promoted. Anybody that's going to hire anybody to do any work of any kind, they first got to go through a test. There has to be a period of evaluation to make sure you can do the job. So my test was my time of evaluation. The Lord said, no, they didn't faint. They didn't give up, even though they became frustrated. Even when it got hairy on their back, the Lord, they still just praised me anyway. They began to sing the song, Hallelujah, anyhow. Anybody ever gone through with singing that song, anyhow? Hallelujah, anyhow. Lord, I got to release you in your authority, because we're actually going to judge angels. So we've been called to the government of God. That means there were dominions. There are areas that we have authority over that we can speak to. Sickness is one of them. Disease, infirmities. But I can't release you into this place, this next level, until you prove yourself faithful. Well, how am I going to prove faith? I'm going to be like Job were. When Job went through all that he went through, even his wife told him to curse his God and die. Job said, no, you sound like a foolish woman. What will I receive at the hands of God if I do this now? It was all a plan God had for Job's life. Job went through this and he got to the other side and he found out that God was merciful. God gave him more than he had. If you're stuck in a place where you got so much but can't get no more, say, God, say, I'm gonna cause your blessings to overtake you. Now, we don't know how the overtaking is going to come, but the seed for your blessings is your suffering. The seed for your blessings is your suffering that you failed to give up in. I will not give up. I will not give in. I will praise the Lord anyway. He said, because the next level is the level to release. I need to release you, but my concerns about you, are you going to remain the same next year? Are you going to be still in the kingdom next year? Are you going to let sister so-and-so talk you down? Somebody working against you, and sometimes they are working against you. They're speaking evil against you. They're plotting against you because sometimes they're just simply jealous. But what we do, we get our little Bible, wrap it in arms. I'm leaving. I'm going someplace else. I'm going someplace else where I'm not going to have this problem with people. Not knowing when the sons of God presented themselves before God, the devil was there also. So wherever God's people are, Satan is there to try to intertwine and to disguise himself as also part of the group. You know why? Because the day is going to come when you're going to face the same devil that you ran from in the same other place. It's not the person, it's demon spirits. Let me get ready and close this out on you. But God is saying, I want to release you in my power. I want you to have the authority, but the authority doesn't come unless the experience is there. If we've been steadfast in the faith, then we can be released to the next level. Remember what happened in the book of Isaiah, 6th chapter? God gave him assignment. He says, you know what? I can't do this assignment. Why? Because I have unclean lips. 6th chapter, verse 5, said, you know, I'm against people. I'm in the midst of people that have unclean lips. I can't do this assignment. And the Lord said, okay, I know how to prepare you. He had the seraphim to go to the altar, take a coal of fire in the tongs, and lay it on his tongue. And it says, your iniquities has been taken away. Your sins are purged. Now he hears a voice that says, you know what? I still got this assignment. Who can I send? And Isaiah said, Lord, here am I. Send me. He had been upgraded. He had gone to the next level. But there had to be a time of purging.
Thank you for clicking our app. If you enjoyed and you were blessed by what you heard, come on down to 1850 Elm Street in Manchester, Sundays at 10 o'clock. Same address for Bible studies every Wednesday at 7. May you be blessed.